Welcome to the FT Money, our Fuller Tracy Money audio commentary, and this is Owen Tracy recording at 1:18 Pacific Standard Time. Well, today what we've seen is that, at least on Wall Street, where we've had 8 of the last 9 consecutive sessions have resulted in the Nasdaq pushing on to new highs. The Dow Jones was a bit weaker yesterday and was also down about 0.5%. And here today, the S&P was down 0.2%, and the Nasdaq Composite was down 0.8%. But the Nasdaq, having gone from a deeply oversold short-term condition 10 days ago, has rallied pretty spectacularly to a new high and quite an overbought condition on the short-term stochastic indicators. You can see that with your eye just as easily. So the possibility that we're going to get at least some consolidation in here has increased, and the VIX index, having gone from the upper side of its range to the lower side, also bounced in here today. In the wider stock markets, the Nikkei, having rallied very spectacularly yesterday, was down about 0.5%, and the Hang Seng was up by about 0.33%, while mainland China was pretty firm in here. The fact that you are getting some strength here in the China market, it's probably when I guess we talk about stock markets and currencies pretty much in the same breath these days. Something that has been a topic in the Friday audio, at least when I've recorded it over the last year, has been that the surety in terms of capital appreciation and currency market appreciation that you had in many Asian indices is pretty much a thing of the past. So what happens in the currency market is likely to have an effect on what happens in the stock market, and not least because of Japan's efforts to devalue the yen. Now, the yen was pretty steady in here today, but continues to hold around this 1.25 area relative to the US dollar. The renminbi was a bit weaker in here today. When one looks at the pattern of its appreciation, it spent a bit of time trading below the 200-day moving average in 2012 or 13 before resuming its appreciation. We have seen that the renminbi has been a bit weaker over the last 3 weeks, particularly following the New Year holiday. The party congress will be at some point next month, so we haven't had a sufficiently large weakness in the currency to really read anything into it, but it has been weaker. And the Chinese have been pretty much the only country that hasn't benefited from a weaker currency over the last number of years. So that is a rather conspicuous fact. And just because they haven't made use of a weaker currency in the past does not mean they won't make use of a weaker currency at some point in the future. There is very much a consensus view that the renminbi will continue to appreciate. One really does have to ask why. Certainly there has been political pressure put on China to appreciate the value and accelerate the appreciation of the renminbi, but realistically, with the issues in the banking sector and the loss of competitiveness in the manufacturing sector, just how inclined is China likely to be to continue to allow the currency to appreciate? So it is definitely worth watching. Elsewhere in Asia, a number of the ASEAN markets were a bit firmer in here today. So the Filipino market has rebounded somewhat over the last few sessions, and so has Indonesia. A number of those currencies, which had fallen for much of January, have at least steadied. So the link between the performance of the stock market and the currency is still very much lockstepped for much of Asia. And the fact that the rupee has been really quite steady has also been a support for the Indian stock market. When we look at the European stock markets in here today, well, let's first mention the currencies. The pound was pretty much unchanged. It's currently holding at just below $1.67. And the FTSE was up less than 1 point. So very, very quiet in here today. And so was the DAX, pretty much unchanged on the day. elsewhere, the overbought conditions that are evident on Wall Street aren't as evident in many of the European stock markets. But again, anything that has had a very powerful rally over the last 9 or 10 sessions has developed these short-term overbought conditions, and the likelihood is that we are going to see at least some consolidation of what has been a rather powerful short-term move. In the commodity markets, we're seeing short covering in a number of these markets. Now, the commodity markets are being now assessed on their individual merits. So natural gas was stronger today by 55 cents. It's back above $6 for the first time in a number of years. That very cold weather that we're getting in the in the USA, west of the or east of the Rockies, has highlighted the fact that natural gas is a reasonably tight market following what has been a period of time where prices were very low. That contributed to the ability to increase supply deteriorating and demand for the commodity increasing. So we're in a supply inelastic environment, and as long as the weather remains so bitterly cold, that's going to result in increased demand. It does suggest that once the weather situation improves, that prices will return to more reasonable levels, but are unlikely to fall back below $4. And oil, which has been really quite firm over the last couple of days, was stronger today by an additional dollar. So you have WTI pushing up to $103.50. That spread relative to Brent crude has been contracting over the last few weeks, and it's down now to $7. Given the fact that the lower portion, or the southern portion of the Keystone Pipeline has opened, that has allowed a lot more oil to flow down to refineries on the Gulf Coast, and obviously the ban on crude exports remains very much in place for the USA, but there's no ban on distillates being exported. So there's quite an arbitrage and certainly a competitive advantage for the refiners in the US to both create distillates and export them. And that could be contributing to the narrowing spread between WTI and Brent. When we look at the precious metal markets, well, we've had really quite impressive rallies, and the silver price in particular broke successfully above $20 late last week, and was a little bit weaker in here today. It was down 38 cents. And gold, having been a tad weaker yesterday, is down to $1,311, down about just a little bit less than $11 in here today. Some consolidation of recent gains looks likely. The fact that gold is back in the region of the 200-day moving average, well, this really is the Rubicon. If the bullish forecasts for gold are to prove fruitful, then it will hold in this area. It will post a higher reaction low, and it will move on to new high ground and push back above the 1350 area. But when one looks at the relative performance of gold shares, then they have returned to an area relative to the price of gold that hasn't really been seen since 2001. So, provided gold continues to hold in the $1,200 to $1,300 area, well, then that should be really quite positive for the gold mining sector, not least because they have written down so much of their bad investments, and that the exploration budgets for most of the major miners have been cut back aggressively. That should ameliorate the free cash flow situation, which really has been the bugbear for the sector for at least the last 4 or 5 years. In the soft commodities, you're seeing this very attractive rounding characteristic in corn, and wheat prices have rallied. Natural gas, obviously, has been very powerful. And the Arabica coffee market was rallied spectacularly in here today. You haven't had the same move in Robusta, but both charts are really quite positive. And sugar, having posted an upside Q reversal in January, continues to close its overextension relative to the 200-day moving average, but that area may provide nothing more than token resistance, considering the commonality that we have here. When one looks at the broader market and the continuous commodity index, well, then it is the energy complex, the precious metals, and the soft commodities that are really contributing to the outperformance of that index. We are seeing some bullish interest within the industrial metals sector, but it isn't nearly as powerful as we're seeing in some of these other sectors. But there aren't, at least, I clicked through a number of the commodities today, I didn't see any that are making new lows. And that really would suggest that interest is beginning to return back to the commodity complex. It is also, I suppose, worth considering that we are 4 years into a major advance in stock markets, and that we had a pullback in bond yields, or sorry, in bond prices last year. And there are a number of late in the cycle things that are happening in the stock market, which would suggest that this is a pretty mature bull market. The performance of IPOs, the fact that the marginal buyer has either been leveraged or has been very much dependent on quantitative easing, not least in, sourcing the kind of capital that is required to foster buybacks, and the fact that you are now starting to get interest in what people regard as value, because they're cheaper than the wider market, which is resources, but resources are generally cyclical. So the fact that we're seeing a return to outperformance by the commodity complex is another indication that this is a mature market. Nonetheless, there is significant upside potential as an increasing number of these shares complete, in some cases, what have been 3-year basis. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening, or the afternoon, and wish all the best to all of you.